To call the complaint committee meeting to order for June 25th, 2020 and at 1 p.m. So as notification, the complaint committee upon a majority vote of the quorum of the members may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on the matter, on any matter on the agenda. The complaint committee, upon a majority vote of quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by the state or federal law, again, pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. Since this meeting is being recorded, I will ask the complaint committee members and staff to introduce themselves for the record. Kevin, if we can start from you, and I'll just call out as I see them, and you can just acknowledge if that works.
Great. That's perfect. Thank you. This is Kevin Lamout, and I'm the executive director for the State Board of Private Post and Secondary Education.
Keith Blanchard. Keith Blanchard, board staff.
Great. Glenn?
Hi, I'm Glenn Tarp. I'm a board member and complaint committee member.
Awesome. This is Mike Romano, board member and complaint committee chair. Does AG need to represent themselves and acknowledge?
Mary Williams, assistant attorney general.
Seamus Monahan, assistant attorney general.
Perfect. Thank you very much. As a reminder, Glenn, in this case, for you and myself, when making a motion or a vote, we do want to identify ourselves by name just to try and make it a little bit easier, although hopefully Kevin and Keith will not confuse us too much. All right. So with that, I'd like to move to item number two on the agenda, the complaint committee meeting minutes. Mr. Lamountain, have you confirmed that these minutes of the December 12, 2019 meeting are posted, audible, and reflect the official record of the meeting?
Mr. Blanchard?
Oh, yes, they've been posted.
They are audible, and they are posted.
Thank you, Kevin. Right. Appreciate that.
Hearing such, this is Glenn Tharp. I make a motion. We accept the minutes as
All
published.
Right. Mike Romano, second. Any discussion? All right. All in favor by roll?
Glenn Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye. And the motion carries. Minutes approved. Tremendous. All right. When we move to item number three on the agenda, which is review, discussion, and possible action on student complaints. The first one that we have is with the Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture. Provide us with a brief introduction and update.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the Complaint Committee. On September 19, 2019, the State Board received a complaint from student JP in reference to allegations of a sexual assault by a male student during clinicals on July 29, 2019. The State Board's role in this particular situation is in reference to policies and procedures and not so much as to the assault itself. Upon receiving the written complaint, the institution did contact the City of Phoenix Police Department, which conducted their investigation. The report is attached as part of the investigative report. They also suspended the student while they conducted the investigation. All that information is attached in their response. Any further questions in reference to this complaint? On the phone is Catherine Nemec. And Linda, are you with the institution as well?
You're on mute, Linda. There you
sorry,
are.
Sorry, I'm used to Zoom. I've never done this format before. I'm with I Am Heart.
Oh, okay.
The Institute for Applied Meditation, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Blanchard. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Blanchard, is JP on the phone?
She is not, and I have not been able to reach her since we originally got this complaint.
Keith, this is Seamus, Assistant Attorney General. Did we just give the correct summary? Was that for this specific case, or did we give the summary for the other case?
No, I don't think so. Did I do something wrong?
Yeah, you.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. I did. Did I do? No.
No, it was the right at the end of it. It was something that was related to I Am Heart, which you're not. So.
Right. You asked
Linda if you I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw Linda Turner, and I was expecting D, and so I thought maybe she was with the institution. So I apologize for confusing everybody.
So you're on PIHMA.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And
great. And as Mr. Thorpe had mentioned, JP, the student, the complainant is not on the phone at this point in time, nor has the staff heard from her. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh. Craig, appreciate you joining us, institution side of it. I do just want to make a couple quick statements. The intent of this complaint committee is not to determine whether the decisions made by the school were right or wrong, or the action school follow its institutional policies of grievance and following up with the students. So I just want to provide that clarity for not only you, but the other callers as well, that this is really, we're just trying to verify that policies were followed when the complaint was brought forward and what that looks like. Normally, I would ask you to come forward, just introduce yourself and add any additional color you might like to do for this. Please don't feel as though you need to recap the entire material for us. We've had a chance to review all that material. So, but if you would, just please introduce yourself once again with the school that you're with. And then if you would like to provide any brief opening statement, that would be fine.
Okay, thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Catherine Nemec, and I'm the president and CEO of the Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture. And so with this regrettable incident, we immediately acted and I think we follow our procedures, but maybe there's something we missed, but we found everybody we could to review the situation. We immediately called the police and they agreed with us. They did not find any evidence. And it was a he said versus she said type of situation. And even a judge felt the same way after judicial review. So, but in the meantime, we did go through our process and had a review board and handled the incident, as you can see detailed here. So I am very open to assist. If there is any new evidence, we indicated to her that we would gladly review it. And there was nothing that came forward. We tried to interview everybody that we could get a hold of and who would respond. And so I think we've done as much as we can at this point. And if there's anything else that we need to do, we're very open to resolving the situation. But both have graduated and moved on their separate ways. So, but at this point, I am here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Nemec. Appreciate great. That. Just to go in really quickly, I've had a chance to review all the materials. Looking at the dates in which the complaint came forward and then the follow-up communications done by the school, looking at the policy itself outlined by the school, it would appear as though the school followed in a timely manner their process. The notes were very detailed, and the participants who were involved in the meetings, the outcome of the meetings, the follow-up to the students, in letting them know where the school had landed from that standpoint. So I do not have any additional questions for you. Mr. Thorpe, I'm not sure if you do.
I would echo. Can you guys hear me? Sorry. Yeah. I would echo that, you know, I read that. I thought the packet was fairly complete, and it does appear that they followed policy and procedure. Just to go through the date, though, because you did say you know, once you had the written complaint, you went ahead and suspended the student or, yeah, suspended him until the investigation was done. How much time elapsed between you heard the complaint verbally versus receiving it in writing, do you recall?
It was the same day because she basically spoke with one of the academic dean, and we happened to be meeting that day in our weekly cabinet meeting, and so we just immediately addressed the issue. And so we called the police that day and took action. He was suspended from clinic, not from classes, but he was suspended from clinic in that situation, pending the police interview of both parties, actually.
And, why would you left him in class?
It was a clinical situation. I think it was they were not in the same class. I'm not actually, to be honest, I am not sure if, I'm assuming he was in class, but I don't know that. I have to look at the letter of suspension here. Pardon me to make sure what it said. I will look for that in a moment here. Let's see. Oh, I know. We sent him a letter. Good question. Let's see.
Yeah, it does say lift clinic suspension, so that was another thing.
Yes. Mr. Patel. Because the situation happened in clinic at that time, and actually our classes are held on every other weekend, and so class may not have been pending between the time. Let's see.
Okay, I guess that's a question or a concern for me as it relates to your policy. I think that, you know, what I would hope at that point is, you know, he's on administrative suspension until that point, you know, because
yes.
Leaving him there until you, because you didn't know at that point is if there was anything to it or not, but just until we get through it. So
I think what happened was we did receive report. I mean, that we were waiting for a police. The police told us at that day that there were not going to be assigning any charges, and that actually influenced that situation. We were still in the process of investigating our investigation, and of course they set the meeting as well, the review board meeting.
Okay.
It was the review board met on August 21st, and that incident was on August 10 or 11. So, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, that was really all. I just wanted some clarification around that point. Other than that, I think it's pretty much covered in the response.
Thank you for that. Certainly, we realize these types of situations are always challenging. But again, as I looked at and reviewed the policies and how the school took action, I think there's always, again, that opportunity for schools to reflect and determine how they might adjust their policies moving forward. But at the same time, in this particular case, it looks pretty thorough and followed through. Mr. Thorpe, would you like to make a motion?
I sure would. I'd like to make a motion that we dismiss the complaint number. Well, I don't see the number on here. Let me start over. I make a motion that we dismiss the complaint against Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture.
I second
no violation of status, of statutes.
Mike Romano, second. Any discussion? All right, by roll call vote.
Glenn Tharp, aye.
Mike Romano, aye. All right. We have dismissed this matter. Thank you very much, Ms. Nemec, for joining us today. Have a wonderful remainder of the day.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. We can move on to our second complaint at this point, number 20-S005 with IMU. And in this particular case, goes by a couple different names, but the one we have as licensed is I Am Heart. And so, Mr. Blanchard, if you would provide us with an update on this particular complaint.
Mr. Chair, members of the State Board, on September 19th, 2019, board staff received a complaint from a student, AA, regarding a requested refund from a program she enrolled in at IMU, aka IM Heart. The program is a two-year program in heart rhythm meditation. The information regarding that program is listed in the report. The program is identified by the institution as a deep healing and self-help, which based on that information would make it an exempt program. However, AA signed an enrollment agreement for IMU that included a statement that the school is exempt from licensure. She received a catalog that published in its institutional grievance procedure the state board contact information, and the information in that was actually our old address from over 2 years ago. The allegations are the two-year program and heart rhythm meditation is not a licensed program, but the catalog lists the state board information. The enrollment agreement states IM Heart is exempt from licensure. And then during our review and the investigation of this, according to the Arizona Corporation Commission, the parent company is pending inactive. And that information is listed in the report as well. There's also some names that came up in review of the catalog. And different enrollment agreements and the information submitted by the institution on entity by the name of IM University of Heart, IM Heart, IMU, and then IM. So it's really very confusing to follow what should be licensed, what shouldn't be licensed. They did refund the student her money as she had requested. So she was made whole and she won't, I don't think she'll participate since she's, received a full refund. So here to answer any of your questions that I may not have brought up in the summary is Dee O'Neill and Linda Turner.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Because I don't know how to get the picture on. It said something about asked to be allowed in the meeting or something like that.
That's okay. We can hear you, Dee. No worry about seeing you.
Oh, all right. Well, darn. I am Dee O'Neill. I have been active in, and let me help you with the IM, the IMU, the whatever.
If you would, Ms. O'Neill, if you would just give us a moment so we can clarify a couple things so I can start it off. So, sure. Mr. Blanchard, thank you very much for the recap of that. I know from what you shared, the student matter is really addressed. However, during this complaint and review of it, other concerns were identified that we would like to try and better understand today with the school. So, Ms. O'Neill, Ms. Turner, we understand you're representing today. If you both would, again, just introduce yourselves by name and the institution, and then if you'd like to make an opening statement, you are more than welcome to. Again, please keep in mind, we are familiar with the materials. We've had a chance to review all of them. I imagine my colleague will have a couple questions, as I have a couple questions around that. But why don't we start with at least your names and then any opening statement you'd like to make.
Well, I'm Dee O'Neill. I have been active in originally they called the Institute for Applied Meditation, or IAM initials. That's how we first were in contact with the Arizona Board. I've been active in the organization since 2006. I am an actual graduate of this two-year program that this complaint is referencing. And I know you guys' time is valuable, so the only things I would like to add here, rather than knowing you've read the response. Our two-year program has been operating for 10 years now, and in that time we've had 9 classes and 200 students complete the program. Our 10th class will graduate in 2021, and during all of that time, this is the only complaint that we have ever had filed with the Arizona Private Post-Secondary Education Board. And so with that, I'd like to have Linda Turner introduce herself also.
As Dee said, my name is Linda Turner. I'm here today because I oversee the teachers. I'm work with all of the teachers in the program. I also have taught in IMU and am a graduate of IMU. I've been with the organization for 25 plus years. So I'm really familiar with the school and, or not with the school, but with the organization and the program as a whole. So I came to address any questions or concerns you had about the classes that the different students took with regards to meditation.
Thank you for that.
If you give me a couple of seconds, I would like to hopefully clear up the confusion. The Institute for Applied Meditation was originally formed in Massachusetts, which is where the founders were living at the time. When they moved to Arizona, we applied as a foreign corporation doing business in Arizona, and we received our whatever from the Corporation Commission that way. We finally decided that we really needed to be an Arizona corporation. So I filed articles of organization, articles of incorporation for a nonprofit. And at that point, they wouldn't let us use the term Institute for Applied Meditation because they already had that in their records as a corporation. So we had to come up with a new name. And since we believe that we are mostly heart, and that's where we should live our lives from, we came up with I Am Heart, Inc. as our new name. And so the I Am You, since one of our beliefs is that we're all one, and that's how we came up with IMU. I am you and you am me, so to speak. And I hope that helps slightly.
Thank you for that, Ms. O'Neill. I appreciate that. A couple things first for the staff, if I could. Mr. Blanchard, when you review the actual program that is provided, would that actually fall under requirement to be licensed under the post-secondary board?
Are you speaking of the program identified as a two-year program in heart rhythm meditation or the one that's licensed?
I am referring to the one in the heart meditation.
Yeah, I reviewed that. I know Kim has reviewed that. And if you look at their program, actually even the student, it's really a two-year self-help kind of, I don't know, Dee, you probably help me out on this. It's almost like a self-reflection. You go through these different programs to kind of find out what's bothering you. It's almost like counseling. Am I correct?
Well, we do end up getting into those kinds of issues because the heart, if we learn to meditate and listen to our heart, which is part of what we teach, then some of the things that might have happened to an individual as a child that were not very good for that person, that they have buried in their subconscious, tend to come back to us. They tend to like raise their ugly heads as an adult. And so in terms of being treading and walking down the road of psychology, no, we don't. But that seems to be one of the things that happens. And then we use the very meditation method that we teach to help people work with those issues that show up again. And we call those the wounds of the heart.
Okay. Thank
you, Romano. I also had a question sort of down that line. This was confusing. I agree, Mr. Blanchard, because I'm still trying to figure out what's what as far as names go. But if this program is not licensed, is it under our jurisdiction? I guess this might be a question for our AG.
Well, if it's not licensed, that program would not be under our jurisdiction. If it's exempt from licensure based on our exemption requirements.
That's where I'm trying to get clarity, though, is based on the staff's review of what you've seen of the program, you would say this program is not a requirement to be licensed. Is that an accurate statement?
That would be my assessment.
Okay.
Can we hear from our AGs, Mr. Romano, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
Seamus or Mary? I have you on mute.
Seamus or Mary, are you still there?
Can you hear?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so the license AVD1636, what is that specifically for?
That is for the, I can't even pronounce it, Herqualia Healing. Is that pronounced right, Linda or Dean?
So it's a completely separate program.
Yes.
Run by the parent organization, I Am Heart, Inc. Yeah. And yes, we licensed that one and have relicensed it just last November.
And just to differentiate, we licensed that because there were people who would maybe want to go out and earn a living from doing it, where I Am You is self-exploration and using meditation techniques to do the self-exploration and personal growth. So the programs have two different intentions.
They're, both of them are programs under the umbrella of the organization I Am Heart.
Board members, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. So what I'm hearing is that we don't actually license the school. We license one of the programs of the school, while we don't license the program that's at issue here.
We do license the school.
Correct.
We just don't license, not all programs offered by the institution require licensure because they meet an exemption. Terry, Kevin, would that be an accurate statement?
The institution is licensed by their program. So that program that we do have licensed, which has been licensed for quite some time, falls within the statute. The specific program they're talking about here, being self-help, would fall within an exemption area. Which is the reason why the program does not have a licensure under their current license. I think Mr. Blanchard's issues and the staff's issues here were the commingling of catalog, where the students really believed that they were that this particular individual believed that the program fell under a licensure program because of the confusion in the catalog and the enrollment agreements. Well, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, Mr. LaMountain, I agree with that. I'm just trying to establish if we have jurisdiction over this or not.
So I hear you, Mr. Thorpe, and I think what we're trying to get to first and foremost is it possible, based on staff review, that the school is operating a program that should be licensed that is not? And it sounds like in this case, the school is not required to have a license on that particular program. So I think we can at least acknowledge that. However, it does get confusing because in their catalog under that program, it calls out in the grievance that students should reach out to the post-secondary education if matters are not resolved. So they've essentially confused the students by misrepresenting, in this case, based on their catalog, that if students have a complaint, they should take it to the post-secondary, when in reality, that is not accurate for that program. So I think that's where it gets a little sticky for us. A complaint came forward, and although we don't necessarily have jurisdiction over the complaint, what we have uncovered, or the staff has uncovered, is a potential misrepresentation issue with a licensed school on a non-licensed program.
Well, yeah, I understand that, Mr. Romano, and I agree with you. But again, just not trying to be a nitnoid, but wouldn't that – I mean, I think there's a lot here that needs to be addressed. I don't – disagree with you at all, but wouldn't that require a separate complaint that we could open against the school of misleading stuff? Because I'm confused, because this is a student complaint. Now we're trying to morph it into a institutional complaint for other things that we've said.
Board member Tharp, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. I do believe that you are correct in your last statement. If you know that the complaint would need to be actually filed against the school that we license. And so we could open a complaint to investigate the issues that you're speaking of right now.
Right, which is, I think, is in my view, Mr. Chairman, is what is sort of my thinking. But I'm certainly open to whatever.
Can I ask something, please?
So if I'm, Ms. O'Neill, if you would, just please, as we work through this, we have a bit of procedures here, and we want to make sure we're adhering to those so we don't confuse things. Certainly, if we recognize that the board can open a complaint themselves if information is found, procedurally, just to make sure we understand here, in this particular case, the point on the agenda is around a student complaint that was brought forward based on their belief that the complaint should be escalated to the post-secondary education team or board in this case. It based on the fact that the program is not required to be licensed and isn't licensed, that kind of falls off the table. I think what I'm hearing is procedurally, if we want to continue discussion, we would have to open a new complaint, which we could as a board, but that would not fall into the discussion today on the complaint committee. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, board member, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. That is a correct statement. I think it would be more prudent, though, to refer the matter to the whole board to open a complaint.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. And that was one of my notes here.
Certainly that seems to make sense here. I would then propose a motion for consideration, which is to dismiss the complaint in this case. I don't know if I necessarily need to add to the motion that as a board we refer this to the main board for review and possible continued discussion on some of the other materials we discovered, but I'll look for the staff or AG to guide us on what I can include in that motion or not.
Right. I would think that we wouldn't dismiss the complaint, Mr. Chairman. Rather, we would refer it to the full board, but that's just maybe I'm wrong.
Mr. Tharp, what's confusing is if you wanted to, since you identify the investigation based on a student complaint, even though based on our review of what came in, we investigated that part of what was distributed to the student. If you dismiss this complaint, that'd be the student complaint. Then we can open a complaint. That'd be a board complaint for a non-student. That's what you want to do. You probably want to dismiss this. If you're identifying this just as a student complaint without any other documentation and the student received her refund, even though we have no jurisdiction because it's an unlicensed program, then dismiss it. We'll open a new complaint under a new number where it's just a board complaint, if that kind of makes it easier to.
Yeah, I agree with that. What I didn't understand, Mr. Blanchard, Mr. Chairman, is what we'd be referring if we dismiss this without opening another. But I mean, what I'm trying to get at is I do believe, with all due respect, Ms. O'Neill, Ms. Turner, that a complaint needs to be open. There's a lot of concerning stuff that came up in this investigation, especially around names and such. But anyway, so that's where I stand. So I'll hear from our AGs then, I guess.
Could I add something here that might help with your decision?
This is Attorney General Seamus Monahan. At this point, it won't. We need to dismiss the complaint that we currently have as we don't have jurisdiction over it, and then refer to the board to open a new complaint based on the information received during the investigation against the school specifically.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Does that reference require a motion, or is that just an action that the staff can take?
You can make it in one motion, okay. Board Member Romano.
Thank you. So I'll adjust or amend my motion to say dismiss the student complaint in this case with I am you, or I'm going to use the license name that we have, I am Hart, Inc., and that we refer for review by the board the other concerns that have come forward with licensure and use of name.
I second that, Mr.
Ryan. Against the school.
Yeah, against the school.
Okay. Now do you have further discussion?
Good. Down. Just hold on. Glenn Tharp, second.
Okay. for discussion. It's really discussion for the board members, not the school at this point, just for clarity. Mr. Thorpe, any additional discussion?
No.
Okay. Vote by roll.
Glenn Thorpe, aye.
Mike Romano, aye. So the motion carries. We are dismissing the student complaint case, and the staff will have an opportunity to put together some materials that will be referred to our larger board. So that concludes that matter. Thank you very much, Ms. Turner and Ms. O'Neill, for joining us today. I'm confident our staff will be reaching out to you a little bit later for some continued discussion.
Great.
Okay.
I'll send you a letter. Linda, do you want to be CC'd on the letter as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll have it out in the next 10 days. Our next board meeting is until August, so we'll put it on the August agenda. Kevin, is that going to work out okay?
It'll work out fine.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
We'll be in touch.
With that concludes number 3 on our agenda, and so I will move to number 4, a call to the public. Anyone wishing to make a public comment may come forward at this time. Please note the presentation time may be limited to 5 minutes. In addition, the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item that is not appearing on the agenda. So with that, I will open it up. Would any member of the public like to come forward?
Mr. Chair, this is Fred Lockhart with the Arizona Private School Association. Just letting you know that I'm here, and thank you for the work that you guys do.
Thank you for joining us, Ms. Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Lockhart. Good to hear your voice.
All right. Well, with that, I don't hear any other comments from the public. I will make a motion to adjourn this meeting at 1:37 p.m.
Take a sec. This is Glenn Thorpe second.
Awesome. I guess by roll.
Glenn Thorpe, aye.
Mike Romano, aye. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.